Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. I'm your co-host, Joanne Chang. In the studio with me is Carissa Thorpe and Allison Cole.
Hello.
Allison is also running the controls, and Maniac Dan is again supervising. So, Super, that's correct. On today's show, unfortunately, Rob Bigwood, the vegan arm wrestler we've scheduled for an interview, cannot make it. So we will be replaying an interview with Twyla Francois from the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition about horse slaughter in Canada. And Allison will be giving some tips on keeping your pets safe on Halloween. But first, we got our very first fan mail.
Ooh.
Yes. So if you don't mind, I would like to read it on the air.
Formal fan mail.
That's
comments
right.
Here and there.
Okay. She says, my name is Karishme Fafeli, and I present a classical music arts radio program at 103.2 Dublin City FM, changingtherecord.com. I've always found a way to mention my love of animals and my vision and my view on animal welfare, vegetarianism, and veganism on the air. I did a program about composers who love cats, for instance, and I stumbled upon your extraordinary and groundbreaking radio program today. I lived in Toronto for a year, and I have many strong ties with Canada, so it was no surprise for me to learn that such a compassionate radio venture broadcasts from the Canadian West Coast. Your program has given me the much-needed push to begin the groundwork needed to broadcast my own animal rights, animal welfare radio program in 2011 from my community radio station. Every little bit helps, I guess. Incredible job. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, that was a wonderful email to get, so thank you for that very much.
Yeah, so yeah, we just want to say that, you know, it just your letter was inspiration enough to keep us going for years to come. And
right.
Yeah, and we're truly touched to know that we have inspired someone all the way in Ireland to carry on the message of animal rights on the radio. So all the power to you, Charisma. We hope that you will reach thousands of people in your community with the message of compassion.
All right, really cool. So we've got a draw to do today for our John Robbins book that we were giving away last week. We had him on the show last week, right? Yeah, it seems like ages ago. Mm-hmm. Anyways, his book is The New Good Life, Living Better Than Ever in an Age of Less.
And we got tons of entries,
got quite
right?
a few entries. It's really good books, so I'm just mixing them up here. Oops, one fell out. One second, and maybe you can give me a drum roll while I grab that one. So the winner for this week's draw is, is Stephanie Jackson. So congratulations, Stephanie Jackson. You are the winner of the John Robbins book, The New Good Life. We'll be contacting you very soon on how you can claim your book.
Great. Thanks for that. And Carissa, cool. We got some news this week.
Yes, we do. You may have noticed in the past several days that TransLink is running some new ads on and inside their buses. If you're a vegan, these may well be ads you've been longing for. And if you're not a vegan or vegetarian, hopefully
they're
making you think.
Yes.
The prominent adverts show a close-up of a female cow's face along with the message, "Milk comes from a grieving mother." Followed by the web address goveganow.com, where you can also view pictures of the ads. The site and the campaign are from Peaceful Prairie Sanctuary, a farmed animal sanctuary and vegan advocacy group. If you like the ads and would like to see the contract extended or expanded, please let TransLink know by clicking on the Give Feedback link and in the Help section located at the bottom of the TransLink homepage. Or you can email the company responsible for managing TransLink's advertising, the Lamar Advertising Company, at DMAURE@Lamar, that's LAMAR.com. It only takes a minute, but it can really make a difference.
Yeah, I just want to say that I actually met the women who were behind this ad campaign, and you did too,
yeah.
Carissa, right? They
yeah.
said that they met you at the Taste of Health. Did you happen to meet them, Joanne?
Yeah,
everyone did.
Mm-hmm.
I know Glenn did as well. So, and I was asking them to, you know, we'd love to feature this story on the show. So they directed me to Peaceful Prairie, and hopefully we'll have them on the show in coming up.
Yeah,
soon. They're trying to extend the ad campaign, mm-hmm. so I thought we'd wait and see.
So they thought it would be a good idea if people did contact TransLink to let them know, because, I mean, how often does TransLink get good feedback?
Right. They're trying to get a deal. Yeah. They're trying to get a deal from TransLink to see if they can just keep it running with, like, maybe not paying as much.
Yeah.
So,
Have you guys seen the ads?
Only on your Facebook.
Yeah.
Only on mine. I haven't actually seen any. But she told me that there's 50 ads inside the buses and 10 of the big ones on the outside of the buses. So
yeah.
16
yeah.
total. That's quite a lot.
She also told me that there was one that on one side of the bus, I think it was like Vera's Meat or something.
On one side, and the other side was this one.
And she mentioned it to the bus driver, and he was really like, wow.
So controversial. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. The BCSPCA officers seized two adult pit bull crosses along with a six-month-old pit bull cross and ten two-week-old pit bull cross puppies from a home in Surrey this week. The mother was starving with her spine and ribs protruding, and her puppies were underweight and suffering from dehydration, while the adult male dog was suffering from a large open wound on one of his front paws. According to Senior Animal Protection Officer Eileen Drever, the female and her puppies were being kept inside the home in a dark room with no ventilation and an overwhelming smell of urine and feces. The two male dogs were outside with no adequate shelter, no access to potable water, and surrounded by hazards and debris. All 13 animals are currently in the care of the BCSPCA and are receiving veterinary care. The investigation is still ongoing and animal cruelty charges are pending.
So why is it that people always abuse pit bulls? I just don't get it.
I don't know.
Are they just a breed that people abuse?
Apparently they don't count as
I saw the cutest picture on Jasmine Singer's Facebook of her pit bull, Rose, who she's always talking about on her show, our hen host. And it was the cutest picture. You have to go on there.
They're really cute.
Her dog was literally had fallen asleep upside down on the couch on her partner Marianne's shoulder. And Marianne couldn't move for hours with, like, you know, her tongue sticking out. Like, you know, it was so cute. I couldn't believe it. That is the cutest picture of a pit bull I've ever seen.
Yeah, I guess we had an interview with Hug a Bull, and they talked about how people like to abuse pit bulls because they love people, and that's in their nature. So you can't do whatever you want with them, and they just
they'll kind of allow you almost.
Yeah.
That's just so mean, you know. Dogs just open their heart to you, and people take advantage of them.
Also this week, Chilliwack residents Peter and Camille DeVries have been charged with 5 separate counts of animal cruelty following a BCSPCA investigation in which a large number of neglected animals, including 47 fowl, 22 fish, 9 birds, 6 dogs, 5 horses, 3 cows, and 1 cat, I know it almost sounds like a partridge in a pear tree, doesn't it, were seized from the couple's property on Yale Road East in Chilliwack. BCSPCA Cruelty Investigations General Manager Marcy Moriarty said that these individuals are chronic offenders as they have previously been convicted of animal cruelty on 2 separate occasions in both 2003 and 2005. Unfortunately, they did not receive lifetime bans on owning animals in either case, and thus the BCSPCA has had to spend valuable time and resources rescuing these poor animals. We can only hope this time the courts will see that the only way to stop the abuse in this case is to prevent them from ever having animals again. As well as living in dirty and substandard conditions, many of the animals seized were thin or emaciated and suffering from infections or other medical issues. Happily, all of the animals have now been successfully rehomed by the SPCA. A first court appearance for the accused couple has not yet been set. If convicted, they face a fine of up to $10,000, up to 6 months in jail, and a ban on owning or taking care of animals for a period of determined time by a judge. The couple is also awaiting trial on a separate animal cruelty charge and will go to court on that charge on April 21st, 2011.
Yeah, I think Allison and I were talking about getting a psychologist on the show to talk about people that hoard animals because it's really a psychological illness that people have when they do that.
Yeah.
And a very interesting subject just to learn more about as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do I have time for one more?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. From Brussels, a European judge has refused to suspend a ban on the import of seal products in Europe, dealing a blow to Canada's Inuit hunters and fur traders, according to a ruling released on Thursday. The European Union's decision to ban such imports angered Canada and prompted a legal challenge by Inuit groups from Canada and Greenland. This new ruling by the European Court of Justice further disappointed both Canadian sealers and Ottawa. Judge Mark Jager rejected an argument made by the Inuits that the embargo on seal products would cause severe financial damage and raise the risk of suicide among youths in their communities. Canada is pursuing... I know, I thought that was really weird. Canada is pursuing the issue through the World Trade Organization, and we hope to get a resolution through that medium because we feel that the European Union is in violation of international trade laws, Canadian Fisheries Minister Gail Shea told reporters. The second round of WTO negotiations are expected to start in November.
Yeah, I thought that was a real far stretch when they said, we need to continue, you need to lift the ban to let us sell our seal products so that our kids don't commit suicide.
Yeah.
Real far stretch there. You know, if your kids are suicidal or
it
going to be...
It might be where you live, where there's no
There may be other issues.
Other issues at hand.
Thank you for that, Carissa. You're listening to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. So I'm going to talk about horse slaughter. Horse slaughter is something that's been appearing in the news around Canada recently. Just earlier this month, protesters across Canada gathered in Toronto, Vancouver, and Alberta to call for an end to this cruel practice that most Canadians do not know about. Horse meat is not something that we consume in Canada, but we do slaughter these animals to provide meat for markets in Europe and Asia where they do eat horse meat. So do you guys know where these horses come from?
Quebec?
That's a good guess.
Is it a right guess?
Well, you know, you don't know.
Well, that's where they're slaughtered, right? There's a...
Quebec and Alberta. But,
yeah, that's
but
a
like,
question.
Are they racehorses?
Yeah, some of them are racehorses.
And pets.
And pets, right.
Yeah.
So we don't... Like, we don't have farms like cows. We farm them so they're meat. But in North America, we don't farm them for meat. So what happens is we do have a love affair with horses. We use them for sport and recreation. You know, little girls like to have their ponies.
Yeah.
And when they, you know, get older, they're not interested in the horses anymore. They go to retirement, which means slaughterhouse. And, you know, if you ever go on the horse-drawn carriages in Stanley Park, don't let them tell you that those horses retire to greener pasture. That's not true.
Yeah.
They all go to the slaughterhouse.
And then what happens to them when they're slaughtered, Joanne?
Well, we're going to talk about that with our interview with Twyla later. She'll tell you all about it. So in addition to the pets that end up in the slaughterhouse in Canada, about 50,000 American horses are sent up to Canada for slaughter every year since the U.S. has banned the practice of horse slaughter in 2007. So earlier this summer, a private member's bill called C-544 was introduced by Alex Atamanenko, an NDP MP from BC, to ban the import of horses to be killed in Canada and the export of horse meat to Asia and Europe. And the bill was introduced out of concern for food safety. Since none of these horses are bred for meat, many of them are given medications such as phenobutazone, an anti-inflammatory to treat aches and pains for race horses, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So if this bill passes, it would effectively end the horse slaughter industry in Canada. So if you're listening and would like to urge your MP to support Bill C-544 to end horse slaughter, please go to webinfo.parl.gc.ca to find out who your MP is, and then send them a letter in support of Bill C-544. And we're going to be replaying an interview we did back in April of this year with Twyla Francois from the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition about horse slaughter investigation that she conducted in Alberta and Quebec. On the line is our first guest, Twyla Francois. Twyla is the head of investigation for CETFA, Canadian for the Ethical Treatment of Food Animals, as well as the Central Region Director for the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition. She's here to tell us about some disturbing footage shot in February of this year in two federally regulated horse slaughterhouses in Canada. Welcome back to Animal Voices, Twyla.
Hello.
Hi. So can you tell us what discoveries you made from the footage taken at two randomly selected slaughterhouses in Alberta and in Quebec?
Well, the things we found were completely shocking, but I suppose they shouldn't have been, considering we had done a similar investigation in 2008 at a horse slaughterhouse in Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say what we found with these two plants, one in Alberta, one in Quebec, was actually much worse. They were using a .22 to shoot the horses, but the angle and the trajectory was completely backwards to what was required. So a number of the horses were not being rendered unconscious. They were in just a standard cattle stun box that didn't restrain them at all. So a number of the horses were shot in the right eye, then the left eye, then skimmed over the top.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one horse suffered for up to 4 minutes. And the other thing that we caught footage of as well was the suspending of live, fully conscious horses by one rear leg. So they're suspended, and the camera angle is looking directly down, and you can see the horse's face looking up. So she's still trying to right herself. Yeah, and one scene, the horse is frantically kicking as she's hung, and the worker comes in to stab her in the jugular, and he's kicked. And this is the other thing, too. You know, what about worker safety?
Right.
Yeah, so it was really horrible stuff, completely chaotic. The stun box is supposed to have one horse. Sometimes there were two, sometimes three shot in front of one another. Just really unbelievable practices that clearly are routine.
So, I mean, sounds like a lot of things went wrong, but, you know, do you think, what was it that went wrong? Do you think the slaughterhouses were improperly set up for horse slaughter? Was there a lack of personnel training? Like, what exactly is it that allowed this to happen?
I think it's probably a number of those different factors you mentioned. So, we've got the biology of a horse, and they've got these really strong, long necks that are muscular, whipping a small head around, and the effective stun spot in a horse's brain is about the size of a walnut. So if you can imagine trying to accurately hit that. And then the other problem is the fact that they're using a cattle box. There's no way to restrain the horses without breaking their neck. And also, yeah, the lack of training was unbelievable. In that footage, when the worker gets kicked, he's out for the day. The next guy is brought in completely green, and he asks a question, and the worker he's about to replace says, "No, look at the eyes. Always look at the eyes. You can tell they're still alive if you look at the eyes. And here's your knife." Like, that was the extent of his training. And this is the man that's responsible for ensuring every animal is unconscious before it's hoisted. So, it's just all these different factors that produce these horrible circumstances. But one of the plants, Bouverie Exports, is seen as the gold standard of horse slaughter across the world. And so he kills, you know, 200 a day at this plant. They've been open for a very long time. So one would think that it's this well-oiled machine, but it wasn't. It was complete booberie.
Wow. Now, do you think what you found at Bouverie and Richelieu were the two slaughterhouses you investigated? Do you think that was representative of the problems in the entire horse slaughter industry, or were these isolated incidents?
We think that they're representative. The Alberta SPCA, unfortunately, even among industry groups, the Alberta SPCA is known as not being animal friendly. But they tried to claim that this was a one-off, that they're not concerned. But if it's such a one-off, how come those exact same problems were happening at the plant in Quebec as well, and in the plant in Saskatchewan? So here we have three of the five in operation that we've had gotten footage at, and all of them show these problems. And because it's inherent, the problems are inherent to the species itself, the horse being a flight animal, and because none of the other operations have any different stun box, we're certain that these are the practices at every single horse slaughter plant.
And so you didn't just pick these two because they had problems. Did you just randomly pick them?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. They were just completely randomly selected.
There's only five in total, right? So
right. There's four now. We did manage to get the one in Saskatchewan closed.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah, thank goodness. So we're hoping that's what happens here too. But it's been kind of unbelievable. Mm-hmm. If this same footage was exposed in the U.S., the plants would have been closed. Their license would have been suspended. Workers would have been charged. Mm-hmm. Here, EFIA is allowing them to continue operating. The only changes that have been made are structural. They've increased the height of the sides of the stun box, and they've added rubber matting. I mean, this is ridiculous. So, yeah, we're hoping that enough people will go to our website and look at who they're to be contacting, because we need to create some uproar if we expect to get anything done on this.
Now, I read in an interview with CBC, the owner of Bovary Exports, Claude Bovary, said that at any given time, the facility is monitored by six CFIA, which is Canadian Food Inspection Agency, inspectors, and a veterinarian. How can they allow this to happen under their watch?
Yeah, this is the other thing, too, that's really ridiculous. After the Natural Valley Farms expose in Saskatchewan, CFIA did a number of interviews and said, okay, now we know we're stepping up our efforts. But it's a problem within the system itself. They're putting these inspectors and veterinarians into these plants, which are really hostile. When I've gone on investigations and I see problems, I go into the plant and I ask to talk to the CFIA veterinarian or inspector. I always find them in their lab, and when I ask them to come onto the kill floor or come out where the animals are, they don't want to leave their lab because they're, you know, they get bullied and harassed. Exactly. Yeah. It's just this really intimidating environment, and so this body that's been given the authority to be in enforcement, they've sort of been stripped of that. Anytime they do try to push anything through, they're ostracized, and they've got to go back to that plant again. So, yeah, there were six CFIA vets and inspectors at Bovary. There was at least one at Richelieu, but you don't see them in the footage. They're nowhere near the kill floor, even though in 2008, and even still today, they sort of pander to the public, and CFIA senior officials say, yes, every single kill is overseen, but it's clearly not happening.
Right. Now, after reviewing the footage, the CFIA, as well as the Horse Welfare Alliance of Canada, suggested that the footage was fabricated. First of all, who are the Horse Welfare Alliance of Canada, and why would they be more concerned about blaming the video than blaming the slaughterhouses?
Mm-hmm. Horse Welfare Alliance is headed up by a man named Bill DeBar. He is paid exclusively by Claude Bovary, who owns Bovary Exports. And unfortunately, they've added that welfare word in their name, which is really kind of a horrible wording of the word. He's the paid mouthpiece to defend. And they actually started in 2008 after our first investigation.
Now, that's really confusing for the public to have that word, horse welfare in there.
Exactly.
Now, what evidence do you have to prove that the footage was not fabricated?
I guess part of our response to that is, wow, that would be quite an undertaking for us to have pulled off, you know, getting an entire workforce in place and have 200 horses that we could have in our basements being killed. But we have had to come up with rebuttals for that. So what we did in the Bovary footage, you hear a screamingly loud radio playing all day, and we were able to hear that it was 107.7 FM. Out of Lethbridge. So we contacted the program director and asked him for the day's song list from February 19th. He sent it to us, and it completely matches up with the footage. So that's incontrovertible.
That's
and
clever.
Richelieu, in Richelieu, I actually toured the facility in 2008, so I can say that, yeah, that's exactly their layout. But we have also hired a retired forensic video analyst who used to be with the RCMP, and he's a qualified expert witness and does video authentication. So he's doing that for us right now.
That's great. Now, I understand that the SPCA has also reviewed the footage. What was their conclusion?
Yeah, so the Alberta SPCA, really ridiculous. They're just poo-pooing it all.
Yeah.
The BC SPCA, who's quite a bit more progressive, them and the Canadian Federation for Humane Societies have written a rather scathing letter and report, and both are calling for the immediate closure of the plant.
That's
so this
great.
Is huge, because unfortunately our little horse group isn't seen as respectable enough or mainstream enough, so it's really fantastic that those other groups have jumped on board.
That's wonderful. I hope you'll get them shut down.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to see charges filed against the slaughterhouse owners?
That I don't know. Charges are always discretionary, so it's completely up to the RCMP. Hmm. So this is the other thing. Often what's happened in my experience with the RCMP is if we can take it, the issue to an urban detachment, it gets handled seriously. If we take it to a rural detachment, which unfortunately in these cases it has to go to, they know the workers, they know the management, so they're really not keen to prosecute. So that's also why it's so important for the public to express that they're just disgusted about this, because only if there's enough political pressure will the RCMP really investigate.
Okay, now how do we put the pressure on?
So going to the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition website,
okay.
So it's defendhorsescanada.org, and then we have a list of people to contact there. And very soon we're going to be also putting a call out to contact the Auditor General. Her office is arm's length from government. She can do a review and then report it back to Parliament. So what we're asking is for a performance review of the CFIA. There's just been so many instances exposing all of the problems with the CFIA mm-hmm. that we really feel it needs to be looked into. It needs to be restructured.
So will there be charges filed against the CFIA and the vets, or is the RCMP in bed with them as well?
It's a tough one. With the Natural Valley Farms investigation, after it was done, we had literally hundreds of people from around the world sending us memorial cards for the horses, flowers, candles, and so we went to the rendering pit, which is where all the horse remains, the heads and things were, and it was just in the middle of the Capel Valley, in the middle of nowhere. We were standing outside of the fence, and we suspended all of these, poems and beautiful flowers and everything. We were chased, actually, out of the facility, and security tried to kill us by running us off of a cliff. It was pretty harrowing. It was a high-speed chase at 130 kilometers an hour.
Oh, my God.
So I got home, and I posted it all up on my YouTube site.
Good.
But then within a few weeks, the police were on my doorstep. So threatening me with mischief, which is interfering with the use and enjoyment of a space.
Wow.
So I'm not sure who we were interfering with enjoying that horrible
slaughterhouse.
Yeah,
really.
But, yeah, so the experience with the RCMP hasn't been great.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the Natural Valley case, we received a letter from the RCMP sometime after the plant had closed saying, yes, there were in fact welfare violations, but we're not going to pursue it because the facility's been closed. So I don't know. We don't have a huge amount of hope, but we're hoping that they will do the right thing, and if the public scrutiny is high enough, then they'll be forced to.
Great. Now, this next question is, I'm sure, on the top of everybody's minds. I know Allison was asking about this earlier. We're talking about, the improper slaughter of horses as if horse slaughter is something that Canadian general public is comfortable with if done properly. And I really don't think that that's the case. In fact, I think a lot of people are shocked to find that we're killing horses. Can you tell us why we're slaughtering horses and where the heck are all these horses coming from?
Yeah, and you're completely right. A poll was done that showed that two-thirds of Canadians would like a ban on horse slaughter, and that was before 2008. So that was before these last three exposés. So I'm thinking it's much higher. But what happened was the U.S. Saw the light, and they banned horse slaughter, saying it's too inhumane.
So the entire country did?
Yes, okay. Yeah. It's illegal in all of their states. So those horses are now coming up here and going to Mexico.
Right, I've heard that. So why are these horses, why do they need to die? Where are they coming from?
Most of them are pets. It's people that have gotten tired of their pets, and they're hoping to make a dollar off them by bringing them to auction instead of euthanizing them. And the meat is actually going to France, Belgium, and Japan. It's a delicacy. But what's amazing is our footage and footage from a large group in Belgium called Gaia was just released in Belgium last week. The reaction was so unbelievable. It showed really how nasty the meat is from these horses. And the fact is they're pets, so they're getting all of these drugs like phenylbutazone, which is like the aspirin of horses, but it's a known carcinogen. So the Belgian public was so disgusted that all of the grocery stores started pulling the horse meat off of the shelves.
That's great.
It's amazing. So we think that the population in Belgium will realize, you know, that they don't want this. So then it'll be up to convincing France and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Japan has really high standards for their quality of food, so we think that maybe there's hope there too. But yeah, so this is the other angle. A group in the U.S. Led by veterinarians did studies looking at all the different pharmaceuticals in the meat, and it's really toxic stuff. It should be illegal to export it, really.
Mm-hmm. I'm quite shocked that people will bring their pets to the auction knowing that they're going to be slaughtered.
I know.
Let's say if you're calling an end to the horse slaughter industry in Canada, and the same thing happens in Canada as it did in the U.S., what would happen then? Would all of the unwanted pet horses and retired race horses now go to Mexico to be slaughtered?
Yeah, this is actually, it's a bit of a misnomer. I think well-meaning people have this concern, but if this is passed, and we would have to tie it with a bill that's going through in the U.S. right now that would ban the transport of horses for the purpose of slaughter.
Mm.
So that would, you know, hopefully end them going to Mexico. And also to deal with the numbers that will be remaining, we've got a subsidized euthanasia program. So people can apply to us, and we'll help cover the costs of getting your pet euthanized on your farm. There's a number of really good horse rescues that could pick up some of them. But I think the key thing will be that if there's no profit to be made, if there's no more slaughterhouses to take these horses, the breeders will stop breeding.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, groups like the Quarter Horse Association, they have contests, you know, for who can breed the most horses.
Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. And what they're doing is they're rampantly breeding, hoping for that one in a million horse, knowing that all of the other ones can go, they can get $300 per by sending it to the meat man. So I think that if they don't have that income, they mm-hmm. simply won't breed them, because the cost-benefit analysis of paying to feed them just doesn't make sense if you're not going to make anything out of them in the end. So I think the problem will actually take care of itself. And really, I mean, nothing is worse than what they're going through at these slaughterhouses.
Right. Oh, wow. That's actually very educational. And, you know, like our other pets, dogs and cats, we don't send them to the slaughterhouse after we're done with them.
And, you know, and that was what completely shocked me, because, you know, I do like all species, but I was at the horse slaughterhouse in Quebec and doing just a routine inspection, and I didn't know it was going to be horses. I thought it was a cattle slaughterhouse. But I saw these men, and they were shirtless, covered in blood, walking by the pens, and all of a sudden all these incredibly friendly haltered horses came running up to them seeking affection. And you even see that in the killing footage from Richelieu, you know, these really friendly horses continually reaching out to the shooter, and he's pushing them back with the barrel of the gun. It's just such an unbelievable betrayal. How anybody can send an old, you know, a pet to this kind of a fate is just horrible.
Mm-hmm. Can people see the footage on your website?
Yes, yeah. So okay. If they go to defendhorsescanada.org, and then it's Chambers of Carnage is the name of the campaign, where they can find all the footage. Unfortunately, YouTube pulled the Bouverie export footage.
Mm.
We think probably Claude Bouverie had contacted
right.
them,
mm-hmm.
But we've managed to put it up on a different site, so it's all still available for viewing.
Great. Thank you so much, Twyla, for being with us again.
Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. That was Twyla Francois from Canadian Horse Defense Coalition. You can find out more about her campaign and get in contact with her by going to defendhorsescanada.org.
Hey, give us your money, all that you got. Just fork it on over.
Yes, it's fall member drive time once again from October 15th to 29th. 15 days of special programming to persuade you to dig down and take out or renew a membership in Co-op Radio. We've been around for 35 years, but we still need your help to meet our increased expenses. So check our website, www.coopradio.org, for detailed program listings of specials. Then tune in to 102.7 FM, phone in to 604-684-8494, and pitch in with your membership or donation. Keep Co-op Radio alive for another 35.
Give us your money. When you help others, you can't help helping yourself.
You are listening to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 102.7 FM CFRO in Vancouver, Canada. And we've got the Animal Voices events right now. So right now, from October the 24th to October the 31st, it's Go World Vegan Week. Did you ladies know that?
No.
Not until you told me.
I know. And I only found out earlier this week, so not a hugely promoted week. This is an initiative started by the nonprofit organization In Defense of Animals. And this week is the fifth annual Go World Vegan Week. Actress Emily Deschanel, who is a vegan and stars in the TV show Bones, is endorsing Go World Vegan Week this year. And she says, this week is a celebration of compassion and a time to take action for animals, the environment and everyone's well-being. A plant-based diet not only improves your health, it significantly reduces your carbon footprint and preserves resources for future generations. So please join me in creating a healthy future and go vegan for a World Go Vegan Week. IDA also wants to encourage people to use World Go Vegan Week to educate their community about the vegan lifestyle as a compassionate, sustainable, and healthy way of eating and living. Promoting veganism through outreach events and the media. Hey, we're the media. World Go Vegan Week is helping make the word vegan a household word, which I think we're trying to do here on the show as well. Universally recognized as meaning love and compassion for all living beings. So I think that's really what veganism is about.
Yeah.
So please visit the Go World Vegan Week website at goworldveganweek.org, where there is all sorts of information about celebrating this week, as well as lots of info as to why to go vegan and lots of resources to use, such as literature you can download and lots of online links. And there's recipes there as well. So why don't you go vegan for World Go Vegan Week and see how it goes? Well, there are only 2.5 days left of Go Week Vegan Week, but there's no need to fret, since guess what? Next Monday, November the 1st, is World Vegan Day.
Oh,
and then the whole month of November is World Vegan Month.
I think I see the scheme here. We just want people to be vegan all the time.
It's like kind of like the one that happened in the summer where it was vegan day for one day, and then it's going to be two next year, and then
right.
Three.
Yeah. But October 1st was World Vegetarian Day, and we're still World Vegetarian Day, and we're in World Vegetarian Month right now, October. So I guess presumably you've been vegetarian for a month. Now it's time to go vegan for a month. Maybe maybe that's how that was devised there. World Vegan Day has a website as well, and it's sponsored by the Vegan Society, which is a national nonprofit organization in the UK. The site is worldveganday.org. You can check it out for some more resources on going vegan. You can also take the vegan pledge here as well, where you can sign up and pledge to go vegan for 7, 14, or 30 days. So I think veganism is definitely going mainstream, as you've seen in the media here. And I hope you can take the information that we disseminate here on the Animal Voices show to help you with your transition towards veganism, if that's something that you want to do, even if it is just to try it out for a week or a month. But I think that once you try it, you won't want to go back. Please do listen to our past shows, which are all posted online at animalvoices.org as resources as to why to go vegan and how to. As you're probably aware, we do interviews every single week on animal rights issues because that is a theme for our show, as is veganism. And we've done many, many shows on issues concerning the animals raised as food, as well as interviews with experts on the issue issues of following a plant-based diet and how to do it. So please take that information. It's all free for your consumption, animalvoices.org, and listen to it and use it towards a healthier lifestyle for you and the animals. Go World Vegan Day, November 1st, and Go World Vegan Month. On Thursday, November the 4th at 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m., there's going to be an Antifa protest during Vancouver's Fashion Week presented by the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. This happens at the intersection of Nicholas Street and Robson Street in Vancouver. Fashion Week is coming to Vancouver, and what's hotter than showing kindness towards animals? PETA will be in town next week to show the fashion world that compassion for animals is more stylish than cruelly skinning them for clothing. The theme of the protest is animal prints, not animal skins. So they will have some volunteers painted up to look like leopards and tigers. They need your help to make this protest a big success. If you would like to help or have any questions, email Ashley at ashleyb@peta.org with Compassion is the Fashion Vancouver in the subject line of your email, or you can call her at 212-274-8274, and that event is happening on November the 4th. So I think that's all the time we have for events today, and just remember, if you have any events that you want to have announced on the Animal Voices show, just send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page. So Halloween is coming this weekend. Do either of you have plans for this Halloween, Joanne and Carissa?
I'm one of those grouch that will turn off my lights and pretend I'm not home and watch movies on my computer.
I see. And Carissa getting dressed up in Squamish.
I'm working on Saturday night while there's a party where I work. And then Sunday, I'm not sure if I'm going to feel like going out after that.
So what about your pets? Do they have any plans for this Halloween? And do you think they're looking forward to it?
Probably not, though I do think I live in a bit of a quieter place than you guys do now in Squamish. I think I'm hoping it won't be as many fireworks as in the city, because I know it's been...
I would hope so, too.
Yeah, I'm going to be on fireworks patrol just to make sure that the animals don't freak out.
And how I imagine, you know, your bunnies are going to be particularly scared, because bunnies are like that.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully there won't, like, there's trees around our house, so hopefully the kids won't be coming too close.
Yeah, so not being a cat person myself, I actually didn't know before that cats also freak out during Halloween firecrackers, as you were telling me before, Joanne. Although it doesn't surprise me. We've always had dogs, and it's been the same for them. Plus, they hate the constant door knocking throughout the early evening. Does that get to cats as well? Like,
what's going on? Why are these people here?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're barking like crazy, or dogs are, every time the doorbell rings or the door knocks, and they're wondering, who's trespassing on my property now, and what do they want? Why are they invading my home, right? Because that's their turf. And I don't know if cats are, you know, very proprietal about, you know, their turf and that, like dogs are. But anyways, the poor animals. Halloween is really not a fun time for pets in general, maybe unless you dress them out and take them out trick-or-treating. If they like that kind of thing, they probably don't. Have either of you ever dressed up your pets at Halloween?
No.
No.
Yeah, just wondering. We never did too, either, I mean, but we did. We always, our dogs were always used to wearing clothes at other times of the year, but that's a story for another time. However, one particular memory that I have of one of our dogs is from Penny number one, from when I was a kid. I remember that one year while firecrackers were going off at Halloween, she was suddenly nowhere to be found. To give you some visual imagery, she was a sweet little black poodle with a simple mind, and she was shaped like a barrel. So I searched the house everywhere for her and finally found her.
Wait, you had Penny number one and then Penny number two?
Yes. We didn't name either of them.
Oh, okay. Wow.
They came that way.
Whoa.
We adopted them. Yeah, exactly. Easy to remember. Anyway, so I searched the house everywhere for her and finally found her in the strangest of places, in my parents' bedroom, around the furthest corner of the room, with only her head stuck underneath the bed, and all you could see was her big black butt sticking out from underneath the bed, and she was totally scared and shaking, poor little girl. And I say that was strange because I had never seen her do that ever before, go in that spot. It was a really strange spot for her. I would definitely say it was a time of panic and anxiety for her, and animals were certainly reacting that way to all the strange loud noises and people that they're not used to on this particular one day of the year. So here are some tips on how to keep your animals safe this Halloween, as suggested by the BCSPCA, the Toronto Humane Society, and us here at Animal Voices. First and foremost, I would say keep your pets inside. Prevent your pets from bolting out of the house or confronting scary trick-or-treaters by keeping them in a quiet home in your quiet room in your home. Turn on a radio or TV to help suppress outside sounds and knocks at the door. Now is also a good time to make sure your pet has identification, a tag and a tattoo or a microchip in case your pet gets lost. Cats need ID too, even indoor cats, in case they bolt out from fright. I actually know someone whose cat bolted out once, and it took my friend several days to get her back home because she was a feral cat and very scared. She found her hiding in a garage down the street for like four days, and she had killed mice or something to fend for herself, and she had never been outside before. Yeah. So, you know, it's a scary situation, especially on Halloween, right, with all the scary people around. If your cat goes outdoors, consider keeping your cat indoors during the Halloween season. Pets are often the target of nasty pranks during this time, unfortunately, especially black cats. So just be extra wary and aware at this time and of the year when it comes to your pets so you can keep them safe. And walk your dog before the sun sets so that he or she doesn't have to experience any scary noises or people that usually just come out in the evening. Number two, regarding loud bangs from firecrackers. Exploding firecrackers and fireworks can affect pets in varying degrees. Some dogs will howl while others might cower and whine. One person has said, I've seen cases where a dog has bolted in fear right through a screen door.
Wow.
Yeah. The dog was gone for days just because of a loud bang. In extreme cases, animals will try to dig into a hardwood floor, even jump through a plate glass window in fear, so it can actually get pretty serious. The BCSPCA says that you shouldn't try to act in a consoling manner to your pets, because if you're saying it's okay, don't be scared to them in a soft and sympathetic voice, then you will reward the fearful behavior and they will think that you're fighting too. So I didn't know that, actually. I've been doing the wrong thing all these years, you know. Instead, you should use a happy and upbeat and high-pitched tone of voice, or be very matter-of-fact when your dog is showing fear. Sometimes this is enough to change the emotional state of your dog. Distracting your dogs with toys or play and turning on the radio or television will help focus your dog on other things. Try not to show surprise or fear at fireworks yourself. Dogs take cues from you, so if you're relaxed and confident, they will be less anxious.
You know, it's strange. I think in Vancouver there's lots of fireworks, but when I've lived in the States, there's not that tradition of fireworks.
Well, I come from a small town in Canada, and there's fireworks. Or firecrackers.
Firecrackers, right.
Yeah, just it's the one time of the year where kids go crazy and think they can act crazy and light up
firecrackers. Yeah, it's a very strange tradition here, I think.
They did just change you have to have a permit now in Vancouver. You have don't have to pay for it. It's free, but you have to take an online test to make sure that you can
That you're smart enough to responsibly deploy a firecracker.
And you have to have that as well as ID with you.
Does that mean you can't still buy them at the dollar store, or you can?
You can only buy them, I think, between the 25th and the 31st.
That's right,
and they can only be let off on the 31st. Yeah. So
thanks
you
for
could
reminding
report
me about
anyone.
That, Carissa. Yeah, that's a good point. So this one might be a no-brainer, but if you don't know this already, don't feed Halloween candy and chocolate to pets. Any sudden diet change will cause an upset stomach in your animal, as you probably know. Not to mention that chocolate is poisonous to cats and dogs, and that is because it naturally contains an ingredient, theobromine, which is toxic to them. Feeding your pets candy can also, of course, have ill effects on them, such as obesity and giving them diabetes. I think for the most part, this tip is or should be common sense among adults. But if you have kids, I would say it's really important for you to explain to them that under no circumstances can they feed candy and chocolate to the pets. And in fact, just keep it away out of reach from the young children and pets who may find it. I remember one time, for some reason, there was a bag or a box of chocolate almonds on the counter right above my dog's food bowls, and suddenly a bunch of the chocolate almonds accidentally fell into my dog's water dish, and she started to immediately gobble them up before I had a chance to grab them away from her. Yeah, she didn't die, but I mean,
was she sick?
Not that I know of. So I mean, I remember thinking, oh, dogs can't eat that. Yeah, so But don't chance it, right? Yeah, just because nothing happened, don't chance it. The last tip is regarding costumes for your pets. Are you dressing up your pets for Halloween?
Well, cats and rabbits don't really like to be dressed up. They get pretty angry when you try to
do that. Some animals may not mind getting dressed up because you've seen lots of pictures on the internet and then. Some might even like it, but I think that for the most part, if they aren't used to it, animals generally aren't into wearing costumes, and you will easily figure this out because they will let you know by tearing or shaking them off at the earliest possible second. So if your pet is not happy being dressed up, respect his or her personal boundaries and remove the costume. In addition, dressing your dog in a costume inhibits his or her ability to communicate to other dogs. So in a chance meeting with another dog, your dog may give off signals that inadvertently lead to an aggressive confrontation. Here. It's a good idea to therefore leave your dog safe at home if you go out trick-or-treating. And so if you decide to dress up your dog as a pumpkin or a wiener in a hot dog bun, for example, which seems to be a popular one, he or she is probably not going to seem too cool to the other dogs, and your dog will be very embarrassed. So you don't want to embarrass your companion animal, right? Those are some tips that will hopefully will work out for you and your animals this Halloween. And if you have any tips of your own to suggest, please feel free to email them to radioanimalvoices@gmail.com.
Thank you for that entertaining segment, Allison. We're now going to play a song called Tolerance by vegan activist and musician Michael Frante from his album Yell Fire. I think the song is appropriate for our show because everything we talk about here can really be summarized by that one word, tolerance. Tolerance for those who are different, tolerance for those who are powerless. So take it, Allison.
Draw a picture.
Great song there. So you've been listening to the Animal Voices radio show on 102.7 FM, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Remember to sign up on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. And please send us your suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And remember to check out our website, animalvoices.org. If you support the work that we do here every week at Animal Voices to bring you a original quality programming on the topics of current animal issues and the vegan lifestyle, please show us your support by making a donation to us at the Animal Voices radio show at Co-op Radio, because we do rely on your donations to keep the show on the air. Right now it's our biannual pledge drive, and we really need your donations in order to keep the show on the air. To make a donation of $5, $10, $20, or whatever you can afford, simply go to coopradio.org and click on Donate Now. And remember to indicate on your donation that it's going towards Animal Voices. Every little bit helps, so thank you for your support. Next week on the show, please join us again as we will have two interviews to share with you. First, we will be interviewing a couple of members from the Stop UBC Animal Research Organization to update us on the latest progress of their campaign. And for our feature interview, we'll have a wonderful young heroine and activist for the animals who I've gotten to know this week, 16-year-old Whitney Hillman, who is the high school student from Farm Country, Concordia, Kansas, who bravely stood up for herself and her pet chicken Chicklet and said no to slaughtering Chicklet for her class project and instead devised an escape plan for her chicken and rescued him from death. I think you'll really enjoy that story that Whitney has to tell, which is very inspiring for young, middle-aged, and old activists alike. So please tune in again next week. Thanks for listening, and happy Go World Vegan. Happy World Go Vegan Week for this week. It's a bit of a tongue twister there, and World Vegan Day for November the 1st.
See you next week.
Here comes your money, all that you got, just fork it on over.
Yes, it's fall member drive time once again from October 15th to 29th. 15 days of special programming to persuade you to dig down and take out or renew a membership in Co-op Radio. We've been around for 35 years, but we still need your help to meet our increased expenses. So check our website, www.cooperadio.org, for detailed program listings of specials. Then tune in to 102.7 FM, phone in to 604-684-8494, and pitch in with your membership or donation. Keep Co-op Radio alive for another 35.
It's time to pass the hat,
and there's nothing you can do about that.
So give us your money.
Give us your money.
Give us your money.
Give us your money.